Good to be with you this morning. Lord's given us a beautiful day to be together, and it's good to see you here. We have a lot of folks visiting with us today, and we are glad to have you here with us. We have some that are returning visitors and some who are here for the first time, and so glad to have you. Hope that you will stay around a little bit afterwards and let us get a chance to meet you. I do have some kind of sad but also, you know, good news. It's kind of that mixed thing. Kitty Mobley passed away yesterday, and she had apparently a massive heart attack yesterday afternoon. She was over in Southside Regional Medical Center. She had gone over there. They took her over there Friday afternoon, I understand, because she was having some dizzy spells. And apparently she just had a massive heart attack yesterday afternoon there at the hospital. So at this point, don't know any arrangements, anything like that. It's still too early for all that to be arranged. But as soon as we find out information as far as when the funeral will be, then we'll let folks know about that. But that's the sad part, is that Kitty's no longer with us. The good part about it is that Kitty's with the Lord today, and that's something that we can celebrate. And Kitty loved the Lord, and she loved this church. This was her family, and so we can, though we're sad that she's gone, we can rejoice with her that she has gained the final victory. And so that is something to celebrate there. But it's good to be together as family, and it's I think it's because of that kind of love, you know, that people share, that we have what we have here, and that's what makes it very special. And I just thank the Lord for her. I really do. She's been a very special person in my life. We have been talking about experiencing God. We've been looking at a lot of different aspects of just the whole concept of experiencing God in our lives and growing in a relationship with God through those experiences. And again, the idea is that, you know, we can read the Bible and we can learn a lot of things about God, and we need to do that. But it's actually through the experiences that we have with God in our lives that we really come to know God. In a relationship-oriented way. And that's what God wants with us, is a relationship. There are a lot of people in the world who know about God, but there are few people who really know God by experience and are growing a relationship with Him. And that's what we've been focusing on. Well, through this study that we began at the very beginning of the year, so it's been, you know, 4.5 months now that we've been focusing on this, we come to the real question that we need to really take a good look at. There's all these concepts of experiencing God that we've been talking about, and how God is working in our lives, and He's working around us all the time, and how, you know, we need to look at what God is doing and work in God's work, and it is God's work, and all of those different concepts. But then the question that we've got to really focus on is, okay, what difference is experiencing God making in my life? Or is it making any difference in my life? Okay. We've really got to stop occasionally and take a look at those things. And I want you to think about it this way. Think about the people that you have in your life, relationships that you have with people, whether it be your spouse or whether it be your children or your parents or a neighbor or just people that are special in your lives. Think about perhaps people that aren't necessarily special, but they're involved in your life. And ask the question concerning each one of those people, what difference does that person make in my life? How does that person influence me in my life? You see? That's what we're talking about, is the relationships that we have, you see? And in other words, we have, in different relationships, whether it's husbands and wives, for instance, we learn different things about, you know, our spouse. And we think about things differently, perhaps. And we do things based on our relationship with our spouse or with our children or our parents and so forth. They affect us in one way or another. If not, then the relationship is really pretty useless, isn't it? You say, Well, it's that same concept in our relationship with God. If we have a relationship with God and we're seeking a stronger relationship with God, an experience with Him, then it should be making a difference in our life as to the way that we are living. And one of the primary things that it should be making a difference in is in terms of changing our lives to the glory of God. Okay? So if you look on your outline that you have there, the first point we want to talk about to this morning is that God is in the change business. Okay? That's what a relationship with Him is all about. It's about changing our lives to conform to the image of Christ. If it's not about changing our lives, then what is it about? There's really no purpose in it. God wants to change us first and foremost from being lost to being saved. So that's change, right? You see? And so God is in the changing business. I want to share with you a letter. This is called an open letter to the teachers of my... Whoops, I've got the wrong page there. Had it flipped over. This is a story called Shaped for Glory. Okay, I want you to listen to this. It says, during the Great Depression, a good man lost his job, exhausted his savings, and forfeited his home. His grief was multiplied by the sudden death of his precious wife. The only thing he had left was his faith, and it was weakening. One day he was combing the neighborhood looking for work. He stopped to watch some men who were doing the stonework on a church building. One of those men was skillfully chiseling a triangular piece of rock. Not seeing a spot where it would fit, he asked, "Where are you going to put that?" The man pointed to the top of the building and said, "See that little opening up there at the spire? That's where it goes. I'm shaping it down here so it will fit up there." Tears filled this good man's eyes as he walked away. Those words resounded with him. "Shaping it down here so it will fit up there." He found new meaning in his difficult situation. And it goes on to just encourage us in the same concept. So I want you to think about that statement. Shaping it down here so it will fit up there. And that's what God is doing with us. And that's why He's in the change business. Because you see, in our natural state, we won't fit up there. See? We just won't fit. Not being lost. See? And so in order for us to fit up there, we've got to be reshaped. And that's what God is doing. And that's what the experience with God is all about. That God is taking each one of us in our own relationship with Him, and He's shaping us. He's shaping you. He's shaping me. He's shaping every single one of you. And by the way, each one of us has to be shaped individually and differently. You see? But God loves you so much that He is taking the time to shape you. See? And He's doing that down here so you will fit up there. Sometimes that shaping, it's some hurt and some pain and some struggle and all of those things. It hurts, doesn't it, Rick? See? And that shaping and that pounding and that chiseling, you know, you think about that stone, the only way to get it to the right size and the right shape is to chisel away some of the other stone. And that's what God has to do with us. Okay? But the whole point of that is so that we'll fit up there. And so God is in the changing business. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." You see, the shaping is a matter of getting rid of the old and making the new. Why? So that the new will fit up there. Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, unless you change and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that cannot is a prohibitive word, isn't it? You say, unless you change. And you know, quite easily, we should be able to see that unless you change the shape of you here, you cannot enter up there. That's what it's all about. That's what He's saying. You say. And He gives a specific about the shape that He wants us to change to, and that is to be like children. So it's all about changing us so that we can fit up there with Him. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. Again, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, it's all about the changing in our lives. That God is shaping us down here so we'll fit up there. And that's what the change is all about. Okay? But that change, as we're having to face that change, okay, that sometimes is tough, isn't it? It's tough to do. It's tough to deal with. But I want you to stop and just think for just a moment before we go any further. I want you to think about this question. Do a self-analysis. What changes? What changes in you are you seeing that need to be done? Okay? Just take a look inside. What parts still need to be chiseled away? What parts still need to be kind of cut here or there so that you can be fitted in shape so that you'll fit up there? Now, the reason I ask that question is because I think all of us, from time to time, we look at those kinds of situations and those things in our lives that we know we need to change. We know that, you know, I do this and I shouldn't do this, or I don't do this and I should do this. And we know that there are things in our lives that need to change. But the problem is, oftentimes, as we look at some of those things, first of all, they hurt a lot, don't they? They're difficult to change. And in fact, some of those things, as we look at in our lives, we go, I know that I need to, but I can't. There's no way. It's too difficult for me to do that. And so I think sometimes in things that are going on in our lives, we just simply feel hopeless that situation can ever be any different. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that since God is in the changing business, and He's been in it, by the way, for a long time, right? Okay? He's in the changing business. He knows His job very well, and He does it very well. And He does not want us to be hopeless. He wants us to have hope. Okay? And so thus we look at the whole issue of what Paul refers to in Abraham's situation as hope against hope. Look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul here, in talking about Abraham and his faith and the promise that God had given to him, uses that phrase. And he says, some of your translations say hope against hope, or against all hope. Okay? Is the way the New International Version reads. Against all hope. In other words, looking at this situation and saying, this is hopeless. There's no way that this is going to work. There's no way that this is going to happen. At least, no way that I can see. But hope against hope says, though I can't see it, I know that God can do it. And that's what Abraham had in his situation. You see? that God had promised him that he would be the father of many nations, and yet he didn't even have an heir. Hope against hope, as he was getting older and his wife was getting older, they were both way, way beyond childbearing years. That just isn't likely to happen. Not normally. But Abraham had hope, even in a hopeless situation. And my point of that is that I think that sometimes we feel that our situation is hopeless. When it comes to the things that we know we need to change in our lives. And sometimes it's that idea of saying, you know, I know that it's wrong, I know that it's bad, I know it's destructive, but I've just had this habit too long and I just can't break it. Or we look at it and go, I've tried too many times to change it or to stop it, and every time I try, it just fails, and I've just given up trying. And so sometimes I think what we've done is we've allowed ourselves to just kind of settle with where we are with some of those problems, some of those even sin problems or issues that we have in our lives, because we've lost hope that we could ever change, we could ever do it any differently. Abraham, as he's faced with that hopeless situation in his life, look at verse 20 at what it says there. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Wow. Wow. He did not waver through unbelief. You see, we've really got to sometimes take a look at our lives. From time to time, we've got to take a look and see about some of those things that need to be changed. Some of those parts that need to be chiseled away. Because those are the things that will not allow me to fit up there. And if I don't allow God to chisel those parts away, then I won't fit. And if I just accept those parts about me and say, well, that's just the way I am, and I can't change that, then really what I'm saying is that I'm not going to fit up there. Okay. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay down here. Okay? And I certainly don't want to go to hell. I want to fit up there with Him. And I know there are things in my life that I struggle with, and that, you know, I keep fighting with, and there are certain battles that I have with Satan, and I keep struggling with those things. And, you know, like Paul, you know, talks about the things that I know that I should do, I don't do it, and no, it's the things that I shouldn't do that I do. You know, what a wretched man I am. I struggle just like you do. But I keep on struggling because I want God to keep shaping me down here so that I'll fit up there when it's my time. And I mentioned to you, and maybe, you know, it's just one of those ways that God uses opportunities, but I think about Kitty. I can't help but think about her. And, you know, if ever there was a Christian woman who was rough around the edges, it was Kitty. But I tell you what, God did an awful lot of chiseling on her. He really did. And a lady who just obviously loved the Lord, and she loved His church. And God shaped her. And we wonder, you know, with all the dementia that she suffered with, and you know, why does God allow those things to go on? Well, you know, God was shaping her down here. So when it was her time, that she would fit up there. Okay. And you know, if it were my call, and I know it's not, it's His call, but, you know, I feel very confident that Kitty's fitting up there just fine, because she allowed God to shape her down here. I never heard Kitty ever, when I talked with her about things in her life, and I never heard Kitty go, no, I can't do that. No. She was allowing God to shape her. And that's what we all need to be doing, okay? allowing God to shape us down here so that we'll fit up there. But it's those tough things. It's those impossible things about our lives that we've got to have that faith that says, yes, God, I need you to shape me, and I know I can't do it, but I know you can. And we need to remember these words of Paul in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 as he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. He is able to do what we can't even imagine. And the shaping that has to take place, God can handle that. Whatever it is. If we will not waver in unbelief, okay, then God can take us and shape us and cut away the bad parts, the parts that won't fit. He can do that in your life. He can do it in mine. He's doing it in mine. Whatever rough spots you have, whatever parts are in the way that are keeping you from fitting there, God can reshape them. If he can't, then all of it is pointless. If God can't handle the tough stuff, then Jesus died for nothing. You see, God is a God of hope. Okay? He's a God of hope. Go over to Romans 15 in the text that was read for us as we began this morning. And I'm really wanting to share these things with you because, again, as we've come to this point in our study on experiencing God, we've got to ask the question, okay, well, what's it all for? And, of course, it is all about the relationship that we have with God. Okay? But sometimes, because of the battles that we face in life, we can feel that hopelessness, that I can't do this, I can't change, and so my situation is hopeless. And we wonder sometimes, well, if I die, then, what's going to happen to me? And I doubt and I wonder. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to know. He wants us to have hope in Him because He is the God of hope. We don't have to worry about and wonder. See, if God is able to shape us and get us ready down here so that we'll be up there. Romans chapter 15. In verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Now, I want to stop right there because I want you to think about and really understand what is he saying right here. Okay? As we look at our own situation, we look at ourselves and we ask that question that I asked you to think about as we began here this morning. What changes do you need to make in your life? What things need to be changed about you? And as you look at some of those things and you see those things and go, yes, I know they need to be changed, but I can't. I've tried too many times. It's not working. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, I keep doing the same things over and over again. I keep making the same mistakes, and so it's hopeless. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not hopeless. We have a God who is the God of hope, Paul says. Okay? I know that when you're struggling with those things, then how much joy do you really have in your life in the midst of those kind of struggles? Not much, is there? Because Satan is always wanting to steal our joy, always wanting to take it away. But God is the God of hope. And again, look at what he says here. He will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. You see, that stone in the story that needs to be fit up in that spot, it's an inanimate object. It doesn't feel anything. It doesn't talk or anything. But I want you to just, let's go into cartoon mode here a moment, okay? Where in cartoon mode, everything talks and everything moves. And so the stone, let's put that stone in the cartoon mode and see what would that stone be saying to that mason as it chisels away And it might be saying, ouch, don't hit so hard. That hurts. You know? And do you really think that you can cut all of that away and put me in that little spot up there? And do you really think that's going to work? And you keep hitting me with that chisel and that hammer, you're liable to break me. And then I won't fit anywhere. And that stone would be saying, I think, those kinds of things to the mason as it's chiseling away. And that sometimes that chiseling would be painful. It would hurt that stone if it could really feel. That's what it is like for us, isn't it? That we do feel. And sometimes that chiseling hurts. And the things that we have to go through, they hurt a lot. We lose our loved ones and the marriages that we struggle in, and the parent relationships that we have with the children, and the job situations, and all of the stuff that we have to deal with in this life. And it hurts sometimes, doesn't it? And yet God says, in the midst of that, trust me. Trust me. And I will fill your life with joy and peace. That's the kind of God that we have, a God of hope. Okay? That even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the chiseling, as He's trying to shape us, that the God of hope is saying to you, trust me. Because I'm shaping you down here so you'll fit up there. Because that's what God wants more than anything. Satan wants us to feel hopeless, sorrowful, worried about our lives and about the stuff that's going on in our lives. But God, who is a God of hope, will fill us with joy and peace if we will trust in Him as He chisels away to make us fit up there. Experiencing God, we've been talking about, it should make a difference in our lives. If it's not, then something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong if it's not making a difference. Because that's what the chiseling is all about. It's to change us. It's to shape us. To make us what God wants us to be. It's to help us to change our lives so that we will live our life for Him, and so that eventually, at some point, just like with Miss Kitty, that when our life is over on this earth, that He will take us home to be with Him and we'll fit. That's what He wants to do. He's trying to give us a hope for all eternity. So today I want you to be focusing on your experiences with God. What are they doing to help shape you so that you'll fit up there with Him? What kind of changes need to be made in your life? What kinds of things are you working on, and are you getting God to help you work on those things using His power, say, to do the shaping and the cutting and the chiseling? Maybe there's some things, some sin things that you're struggling with in your life, and maybe Satan has just got you in a bind, and you need some help and some encouragement or guidance to overcome those things. That's part of what family does, is we help with those things. So if maybe that's something like that is what's going on with you, then let us know that. Let us help you. Let us bring you before the Lord. There's someone here this morning who's ready to allow God to chisel away that sin in your life so that you can be in relationship with Him. If you're ready to become a Christian this morning, then you can do that. Call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now, if that's what you're ready to do. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to maybe have a private prayer or talk discussion privately with him. He'll be in the back to receive you, and I'll be up here in the front. Whatever might be going on in your life, you need some shaping, some chiseling, or whatever, and anything that we can help to encourage you or guide you, and all you got to do is let us know. And now we have a great opportunity for you to do that. But remember, whatever's going on in your life, whether it's the tough stuff or the good stuff, the bad stuff, the difficult stuff, whatever it is, God is shaping you down here so that you'll fit up there. And that's what it's about. Let's stand together and sing.